Welcome to the All In Manager podcast. You're in the right place if you want to become a better boss today. You know what can be really painful at work? When your boss pulls you aside and says, "Do you have a couple minutes? Because I want to share some feedback with you." And the boss goes on and on and on and really gives you a lot of harsh or constructive feedback. Chances are it might pack a punch. And if you're a human, it's going to suck. It's going to hurt a little. So what I want to do today is really talk about how you can receive feedback well. That's a really difficult topic. So what I was doing is I was reading this really interesting book called Thanks for Feedback. And it's by this Harvard psychologist, Sheila Heen. And it's a great book, by the way. I'll add a link to the book in the show notes. You should totally check it out. It's just an amazing read. What Sheila does is she talks about these three triggers, these three psychological triggers that pop up in our minds out of nowhere when we are getting hit by really difficult or constructive feedback. So what I want to do today is I want to share these three triggers with you. And then what I'll do is I'll try and explain or share some strategies which are going to help you manage these triggers. And my hope is that you're going to be able to relate to at least one of these triggers. So the first one is called a truth trigger. And the truth trigger is really simple. So imagine your boss gives you feedback, and as soon as he's sharing this piece of feedback with you, your mind is saying, "Nope, he's wrong. This is untrue," or "I completely disagree with what this guy is telling me." If you are having a really hard time agreeing with the content of your boss's feedback, you are being hit by the truth trigger. You simply feel that there is no truth to what your boss is telling you. So let me give you an example. Imagine your boss says, "You are not being creative." Okay? Your boss uses the word creative, or let's just use a different word. Your boss says, "You're not being strategic." So instead of you saying, "Are you kidding me? I'm not being strategic," that's just not going to help. What I want you to do is reframe from "you are wrong" to this idea of getting a little more curious. So move from "you're wrong" and move into "let me be a little more curious." Optimize for curiosity. So here's what you can do. Let's just say your boss says, "I need you to be more strategic." You can tell your boss, "When you say strategic, can you say more about what you mean?" Or let me give you another example. Let's say your boss says, "I need you to be more strategic." You can respond by saying, "Can you give me examples of specific instances when I wasn't strategic?" So what you're doing is you're not pushing back. That's what a lot of managers or employees do. They push back. I don't want you to push back. What I want you to do is I want you to draw in your manager or whomever is giving you that feedback, and I want you to have them explain to you what they mean when they use the word strategic or they use the word creative, any of these words. The goal over here is for both parties, you and them, to align on a shared understanding. That's where the situation gets a little crazy, where someone says, "You're not being strategic," and they have a very different idea or a different meaning for the word strategic, and you have a different meaning or a different interpretation of the word strategic. So when you're getting hit by a truth trigger, one of the first things you want to do is you really want to align on the definition, align on the meaning, align on the substance of the conversation so you are on the same page. That's the most important thing you can do when you doubt the content of someone's feedback. And here's something really interesting. And this has happened to me. Someone said, you're not being creative. And I asked them, can you explain to me your definition of the word creative? And they said, well, you didn't do X, Y, Z. And my definition of the word creative was completely different than theirs. So it's always good to align on the meaning first before jumping in or before going down the rabbit hole. So that's the truth trigger. It happens to most of us. So the strategy for a truth trigger is simple, but it's not easy. And the strategy is don't jump to conclusions by saying you're wrong. Take a step back and become a little more curious first. So that was the truth trigger. Let's talk about the relationship trigger. So the relationship trigger is a little more complicated than the truth trigger. So let me give you an example from my personal life. So a couple of years back, I used to work with a peer of mine who was the senior vice president of marketing. I used to run learning and development. He used to run marketing. And I never got along with this individual. We would always butt heads. However, sometimes, as a good peer does, he would critique my work. And every time he would critique my work or he would give me constructive feedback, I would ignore the feedback. Or I would just not pay attention to what he was sharing with me. And looking back all these years, I realized I was not paying attention to the content of the feedback. I was only paying attention to the relationship. Okay? Just because I did not get along with this person, I was discounting his feedback as a result. Now, I said this is really complicated because if you don't respect a person, it's very difficult for you to respect the feedback they are sharing with you, right? It makes sense. So what you want to do if you are getting hit by a relationship trigger, and this is really difficult, is you want to learn to separate the what from the who. So the what is the content of the feedback they are sharing, and the who is the person. Again, I want to be very clear, you guys, this is not easy stuff. This is complicated. But the only way you can get around this is by asking yourself a simple question. If this feedback was coming from a person that I liked, or if this feedback is coming from a person that I respect, would I do something with this feedback, yes or no? Because chances are, if you're getting the same feedback from a person that you respect, you might want to pay more attention to that specific feedback. And chances are, you are not paying attention to that specific feedback because it's coming from a person that you dislike. So every time you get feedback from someone that you might not necessarily get along with, or you feel that their style is a little different than yours, you want to try and switch tracks, meaning you want to switch from who to what. That is one way you can take some action on their specific feedback. Okay, so the insight over here is when you get feedback from someone that you don't enjoy being around, or you just don't like the person, or you feel they're an uncredible resource, you want to just separate the what from the who, number one. And then you want to ask yourself, let me just weigh this feedback and let me try and figure out if there is something that is credible about their feedback, regardless of what you feel about their specific relationship. That was the second trigger. Now let's talk about the third trigger. The third trigger is very complex. This is extremely difficult. This is the hardest out of all the three triggers, and that is what psychologists call the identity trigger. The identity trigger is when someone shares something with you and it hits you so bad that you start to question yourself. Let me give you an example of that question. When you start to ask yourself, man, am I not good enough? Or rather, you start to tell yourself, I'm just not good enough. Maybe I don't belong in this job or career. Well, whatever that threatens your identity is part of your identity trigger. So let me give you a personal example. It's been a really long time since I got hit by this trigger, but let me share this trigger because it's still on my mind. So I want to say this is 2004 or 2003, and I had gotten my first job out of graduate school, and I had moved to New York City. And I was working with this individual who had asked me to put together this analysis. And I had sent over the analysis to them. I want to say it was the same day or probably the next day. I got a message from them. I believe this was on AOL Instant Messenger. Pretty sure this was on AOL Instant Messenger. And their feedback was, this is FUBAR. FUBAR is F-U-B-A-R. It's an acronym. It's a military acronym for this is effed up beyond all recognition. And you guys, I didn't even know what the word FUBAR meant, so I had to look it up. However, I looked it up and I saw the meaning and I was just shocked. And right after that little message, this person went on and on about how bad that report was and I'd completely missed the mark. And that is exactly when the identity trigger popped up, where it said, maybe I'm just not good enough. Maybe I should not be in this industry. What's wrong with me? I'm just not a smart person. You get the picture. So these types of triggers are rare, but they will pop up in our lives sooner or later. So my advice or my guidance to you is when these types of triggers pop up, what you want to do, and I wish I had known this before, is you want to remove yourself from the situation that you're in if you are able to, and you want to digest the information. So what you can do is if someone shares something with you, and my example is extreme here, I understand, but if someone shares something with you and it just really packs a punch, you don't have to react in that moment. What you can do is you can, and this is going to be really difficult, you can thank them for their feedback and you can let them know, I want to take a day or two to digest your feedback, to really understand your feedback, and then I want to come back to you in a day or two and I want to have a conversation about it. And 9 out of 10 times, in fact, 10 out of 10 times when you tell someone, most of the times, so let's just use 9 out of 10 times, they will appreciate the fact that you have heard them and you will end up looking more influential because you're going to come back to them with a clear thought process. My guidance over here is extricate yourself from the event if you're able to. The other thing that I've been able to do when I've gotten really difficult feedback, I ask myself two questions. What's right about this feedback and what is not right about this feedback? So just make two columns and just list everything that you feel is correct about this feedback and everything that is incorrect about this feedback. Now, chances are most of this might be incorrect. Most of this might be things that you disagree with. That doesn't matter. What matters is I don't want you to miss the one or two pieces of insight that might be valuable for your growth. Here's another thing. Just because someone gives you feedback doesn't make it true. It doesn't. Just because you are listening to someone's feedback doesn't mean that you agree with their feedback. Just because you thank someone for their feedback, again, doesn't imply agreement. Okay? You can always listen to someone. You can hear them out. You can make notes about what it is that they're trying to tell you. And then the next day or the next week or whenever you meet, you can come back to them and you can have a conversation around it. And that conversation could easily be, you know, I was offended or whatever you have to talk about. That's a topic for some other time. But today's topic is about how do you receive it well. And what I'm trying to tell you is receiving feedback well does not mean that you agree with every single word that the feedback giver is sharing with you. Receiving feedback well means, what about this feedback should I implement, and what about this feedback needs to be discarded? It's not easy, it's difficult, and that's where a good conversation comes in, where you can go back to the feedback giver and you can tell them, I appreciate all the feedback you've given me. Here's how I see it. And here is the disconnect. Feedback is not a one-time event. It cannot be a one-time event. It needs to be continuous. It needs to be a conversation where both parties have equal say. And that's really important for managers and employees to understand. Both parties need to be able to voice their opinion. So my hope is you've enjoyed learning about these triggers. I'm going to link the book in the show notes so you can grab that book. It's just a phenomenal book. I believe it's called Thank You for Your Feedback by Sheila Heen and some other gentlemen. Regardless, I'll link to it so you can grab the book there. And hey, if you enjoyed this, please like me on iTunes or follow me on Spotify so other managers can also get this valuable content. If you can, please leave me some feedback on iTunes. I appreciate you, and I will see you next week. Bye.